What's good? You already know who it is, and if you don't know who it is, it's your man Leon Benson, aka Leon Genesis, aka your mom's favorite personal trainer, aka Let's Get It, aka Let's Work, aka Always Working, aka Featress Thompson in the building. What it do? We back at it again, man. This is episode 112, season 3 of the Passion, Purpose, Perspective podcast by yours truly. We out here. We working. Man, it's Sunday Funday, August 14th, 2022. So let's get into this. Last episode, we discussed 7 fitness myths. And then in the world of finance, we discussed why an individual would buy stocks. So if you missed that episode, which was last week, make sure you go back into the feed and you can listen to episode 111 to catch up on all of the details. Today, I want to get through all of this because I got a lot of information, especially in the second half. But getting into the first half, you know, we're going to talk about fitness because you can't have wealth without health. You feel me? So I quickly ran through an article, and before I even start with that, look, disclaimer, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I don't know anything about anything, so don't listen to me, all right? But anyway, I found an article online by Paige Wayner in a verywellfit.com article, and it was entitled, "What Are the Top Reasons People Don't Exercise?" And I just thought that these reasons were kind of hysterical to some degree, depending on the situation. I know it's different for every single person, but it's like, come on, man, come on. Maybe I'm a flawed human being. But it started out dropping a few statistics, which were absolutely insane to me. So I'm going to get into that. Basically, 60% of adults in America don't get the recommended amount of physical activity. All right. And the second stat was more than 25% of adults are not active at all. Like, yo, what are y'all doing out in these streets? What are y'all doing before work? What are y'all doing after work? Like, yo, are y'all really turning up that much? Like, come on, man. Health is wealth. I just said it earlier. Like, you can't have wealth without health, man. It's crazy. Like 60% of adults in America don't get the recommended amount of physical activity, and 25%, more than 25% of adults, they're not active at all. They don't exercise at all. That's crazy to me. Like, yo, nah, man, we be chilling out here. But every episode, man, I'ma keep reminding people, like, yo, we have to take care of our physical well-being. All right. I know a lot of people talk about like mental health awareness and, you know, just addressing the issues with that. But it's like, how come we're also not coupling that with the fitness aspect of it? You know, it's just, it's crazy to me. Everybody wants to get money. Everybody wants to, you know, have a strong mentality, you know, and fight their demons and everything. But it's kind of like, it's just not as prominent or as out in the forefront when it comes to fitness and nutrition. Maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I'm late to the party. Maybe I haven't been paying attention. But yeah, it's just like, where is it at? Especially in the African-American community. Like, we need to promote having a healthier lifestyle in regards to the foods that we eat and the activities that we engage in. Because it's really dangerous, especially for minorities, man. Like, yo, we're susceptible to a lot of illness and disease. And the fact that 60% of adult Americans don't get the recommended amount of, like, that's crazy. It's crazy because you only need 150 minutes a week. That's like 20 minutes a day, like 3 days a week. 4 days a week. Like, really, you can't spare 20 to 30 minutes for a quick little workout? You can't do that? Like, you're that busy? Like, come on. But anyway, I want to get into some of the top reasons why people don't exercise. So, number one, you don't enjoy exercise. Like, what? Okay. Number two, you keep quitting. Number three, you can't afford a gym. Number four, you're not seeing changes. Number five, you don't know how. I'm gonna skip that one because I don't live that life. Number seven, you're too stressed. Number eight, you're tired and sore. Number nine, you can't commit. And then last but not least, number 10, you don't have time. This list is just bullshit. If I'm being frank, like, are y'all serious? And I know that they do like some polls and they survey people and they'll ask them these questions and whatnot. But it's just like, come on, really? Like, these are the reasons? This is crazy to me. This is crazy to me. Again, maybe I'm a flawed individual and I just don't get it. You know, maybe I'm just a weirdo. Maybe I'm a psycho. I don't know. But like, yo, these are all nonsense. Are you kidding me? Like, that's the best y'all can come up with. So I want to go back to, I'm going to break down each one briefly because I don't have a lot of time. But okay, number one for the top 10 reasons are why, or just the top reasons in general why people don't exercise. Number one was you don't enjoy exercise. Okay, at one point in your life, maybe you didn't enjoy working. But when you got that first check, you was like, yo, we live and we lit. I'm finna work another day so I can get another check. I'm finna work another month so I can get another check. Like, yo, you don't enjoy exercise. Make it enjoyable. Make it enjoyable. When you're working out, play music that gets you hyped up. When you're working out, wear your favorite colors. In the form of a gym outfit, whatever, you know, if you wear spandex, if you wear shorts, if you wear, you know, tank tops or sports bras, whatever your favorite sneakers are, as far as like cross trainers or whatever, like, man, make exercise enjoyable. That's such a bullshit excuse. You don't enjoy exercise. Like, what? I guarantee you, you can name like 30 to 40 things right now that you don't like other than exercise. You could easily come up with a list of things that you don't enjoy. But guess what? Probably half of those things you're doing on a consistent basis. Because maybe it's a part of your development. Maybe it's a part of your progression in life. Maybe it's something that you have to do as an adult. And it's just like, you don't enjoy exercise. Like, that is just some BS, man. It's just it's a lame excuse not to take care of your physical well-being. And that is insane to me. The fact that you don't enjoy exercise means that you're going to live a completely unhealthy life and leave yourself susceptible to illnesses and diseases, which could be prevented in some cases for people who don't have pre-genetic dispositions. Like, yo, y'all really be capping out here, like, for real, for real. But yeah, like I said, man, you gotta make it a vibe. Like, you gotta make it enjoyable. You gotta turn it into an enjoyable event, an enjoyable hobby. Like, man, come on. It's not gonna be what you want it to be just because you want it to be that. You have to make it a process that is enjoyable. And that is very simple. Like I said, you can play some of your favorite music, whatever music you listen to, rap, hip hop, reggae, electronica, punk rock, you know, screamo, country music, you know, maybe you like ukulele style music. I don't know. Maybe you like polka, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, but play that music to get yourself hyped up for the workouts. If you don't like the, like, find a reason to enjoy the workouts. Think about the long-term benefits of you know, you having an improved and overall better well-being and a longer life expectancy. That should allow you to enjoy the benefits of working out. There's way too many benefits to working out for you not to enjoy it. Like, man, but you got to give it enough time. Anyway, let me get into number two. So the number two excuse was you keep quitting. Simply put, like, stop being, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop being sus. Get over yourself. Like, you're quitting. Okay, so you're going to quit exercising. Why? Because it's too hard. Because you don't enjoy it. Because what? Because you get sore. Because you don't have a workout partner. Like, these are the lamest excuses. And I'm speaking to people that are perfectly capable of getting up and moving around. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever form of movement you do. Because there's people with disabilities and serious health conditions, and they work out, you know, a couple times a week or every day or whatever. They live their life completely to the fullest, and they add in physical activity and healthier eating. It's just like, and you're telling me you're fully capable. I don't want to say the majority, because honestly, I really don't know the details as far as my demographics, but I do know that my main age group of listeners is between 25 and 34. And the people that I know personally that are between the ages of 25 and 34, like, yo, y'all really are bugging the fuck out. Like, excuse my French. Like, y'all bugging out, man. Y'all make all these lame ass excuses as to why you're quitting training, or, you know, going back to number one, why you don't work out. It's like, come on, man. Like, y'all gotta come at me better than that. Like, it's nonsense. And there are reasons why people quit. You know, they just give up at the first sign of failure, or they give up, you know, because, you know, like it says in at the bottom of the list, like, you don't see results or whatever. It's just like, man, come on. But anyway, it's nonsense. What are you quitting for? Like, what reason do you have to quit and adopt unhealthy habits and shorten your life expectancy? So you want to RIP, you know, for lack of a better term. Basically, you want to die like so many years earlier than your comrades or your colleagues. Like, really, that's how you feel about your life? Like, you don't care about making your body stronger, more flexible, having more agility, just having more lean muscle tissue in order to carry the load, in order to be more stabilized, in order to reduce your stress levels, in order to improve upon, you know, your internal organs, just so your body can function at the most optimum level possible. Like, you don't want to do that. You would rather quit on yourself. You would rather quit on your spouse. You would rather quit on your kids. You would rather quit on your coworkers. You would rather quit on your business associates, because that's essentially what you're doing. If you're not healthy enough to get through, you know, the day-to-day life, at some point, it's really going to affect you in a drastic way. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year. But at some point, all of this skipping workouts or not working out or not eating healthy, you know, it's really going to do damage. It's going to do damage. And it's just like, why? Well, because of number two, people quit. What you quitting for? You gotta have tunnel vision. You gotta have a long-term perspective when it comes to fitness and nutrition. It doesn't happen overnight, man. People say it all the time, but it's so true. But yeah, man, I don't want to harp just on that one excuse. So getting into number three. Number three, reason why adults don't work out. You can't afford a gym. Fam. Y'all bugging, y'all crazy, y'all out of control. I am an extremely frugal individual. Some people probably would call me cheap, and I really don't give a damn. But yeah, I don't have a gym membership, and I work out 3-4 times a week. So that's a lame excuse. It's a lame excuse. You can't afford a gym. Who's asking you to pay, you know, $100, $150, $250 a month for a gym membership? Nobody. There's alternatives. If it's too expensive, go to Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness is what? $10, $20 a month. Maybe inflationary adjusted price is maybe $25, $35 a month. Who knows? I don't know. You go ask them. I don't know what their membership is. I haven't had a membership to a gym in like 2 years because honestly, it got too expensive for me. So I'm like, yo, we can just buy equipment, set it in the backyard, and I can get it in every day. And I fell in love with that. It's very convenient. But yeah, you can do body weight exercises. You can run around the block. You know, you can like, yeah, man, like, you can fill up empty gallons of water or milk with sand or rocks or water, and you can use those as little mini weights. You know, like, don't make the excuses. You could do squats, you could do lunges, you could do sit-ups, you could do push-ups, you could do jumping jacks, you could do burpees, you know, you could do mountain climbers, you could do standing calf raises, you know, you could do shoulder shrugs. There's so many different exercises that you can do. So to say that you can't afford a gym is the reason why you're not working out is extremely lame. You literally can work out for free. So y'all straight capping on these excuses. Whoever was answering these surveys, like, yo, you guys are bugging. Anyway, going into number four, you're not seeing changes. Well, for one, you might be rushing the process. For some people in the beginning of their workout journey, they're going to see progress almost immediately because their body is adapting to the new stimulus that is being introduced to it in the form of resistance training, or bodyweight exercises, or just cleaner eating. Yes, your body might change rapidly, but at some point, your body is going to adapt to what you're doing and what you are eating. Therefore, you're going to get stronger. You're going to get a lot more fit and in shape. So it's going to take more stimulus, more resistance, or more cardio in order for you to get to the next level and break that plateau. So that's reasons why you're not seeing results. But to quit or not exercise because you don't see changes, okay, so do more in the gym, do more in the kitchen in terms of eating cleaner or maybe reducing your calories, or you know, you can stop trying to rush yourself to make changes. Your body is going to physically adapt over time. Your metabolism is going to change over time, assuming that you are maintaining a fitness and nutritional regimen. But you have to give it time. You're not going to see results in a week or 3 weeks. It might take you 3 months. It might take you 6 months. It might take you a year. It might take you 3 years. But to quit because you don't see it, it's like, no, you're just being impatient. Or you need to re-optimize and re-strategize your programming. Maybe you need to look at your body mass index. You need to look at, you know, anything that could be holding you back. Maybe you're not getting enough rest. Maybe your supplementation is not optimal. Maybe you're eating too many carbs, or maybe you're not consuming enough fat in your diet, and maybe that is causing you not to see results. But you need to continue to experiment and readjust and recalibrate everything that you're doing in the gym and everything that you're doing in the kitchen so that you can start to see the results or continue to see the results. But yeah, sometimes you are going to plateau because your body will adapt. Your body will get better. Your body will perform at more optimum levels, which will slow down your progress. It is a natural progression of exercise and nutrition. It's a part of the game. You have to understand that. You know, of course, I talk about finance as well, but it's very similar to the stock market. When you're buying businesses via the stock market, you're not always going to make money. Businesses are not always going to make money. You're not always going to produce returns in your portfolio. Sometimes you're going to lose money, and sometimes your portfolio is going to be flat, meaning you're not going to lose money. You're not going to make money. It's just going to stay right there in the middle because that's just a part of the business cycle, or it's dependent on algorithm trading. And it's dependent on what other investors are doing or not doing in their portfolio simultaneously across all markets and all sectors. So it's very similar to that. You're not always going to see huge changes in the gym. So you can't just quit because of that. It's just nonsense. No, you have to find a better way to get the results that you want to get. And it's not always about getting results per se, which sounds crazy and counterintuitive, but sometimes it's about just being consistent day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, continually getting up and training each day, continuing to warm up, continuing to train hard or train smart, and then continuing to cool down, continuing to utilize supplementation if you need to, continuing to utilize a more clean diet you know, with lean proteins and whole grains and fruits and vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. Like, man, you got to optimize it. You're not always going to see the results. But after a while, once you get certain results, like, okay, it's about maintenance. It's about maintaining. Let me get into number five. The fifth reason that adults don't work out, you don't know how. So, again, it's nonsense. You can YouTube or Google whatever exercises you need to use to get to the position that you want to get to from a physical perspective. That's a lame excuse. Learn how to exercise. Read a book about exercising. Watch videos about exercising. Read articles about exercising. Literally study study the personal trainer certification material so that you can learn how to properly work out. Like, that's just a weak ass excuse. You know how to find the information that you need in order to utilize it so that you can look at new workouts. You can see, you know, just some material in the form of books that have workouts in them that will literally break down and explain what the workouts are, where they originated, how to do them, how many reps, how many sets, what positions you need to be in, whether you need to warm up or cool down, or how long you should perform the sets. Like, there's information out there. You're just lazy and don't want to find the information yourself. So you try to make this lame ass excuse of, oh, well, I don't know how to do it. Guess what? I didn't know how to work out either when I first started out at 12 years old, but I learned how. I read different books. I watched different videos. I worked out with other people that knew more than me, and I learned through that. So yeah, man, it's just a lame ass excuse. Yeah, so skipping number six, going into number seven, you're too stressed. Okay, did you know that exercise, physical activity actually can reduce your stress levels? Maybe you didn't know that because you were too busy focusing on how stressed you were instead of going outside and going for a 30-minute walk and breaking a nice little sweat to ease your mind, to ease your stress levels. Or maybe doing a little bit of cardio on an assault bike, on an exercise stationary bike, you know, or doing a little bit of resistance training. Breaking a sweat will help reduce your stress. Trust me, I know. I know how it is sometimes with certain situations. It gets highly stressful. But guess what? Exercise is one of the key elements of reducing your stress levels, because you get to take out all of your anger or frustration or fears or anxieties on the workout. Lift some heavy ass weights when you're stressed and see what happens. Lift some heavy ass weights for 1 hour in the gym, you know, with minimal rest in between. See if you don't walk out there a lot less stressed than you were before you walked in. But you don't give it enough of a chance. Like, man, to say you're too stressed, that's just a lame ass excuse again. And also, too, being stressed actually increases your cortisol levels and causes you to actually have diminishing effects on your body in terms of in terms of just increasing your fat cells, because your body is stressed out and your cortisol levels are increasing. So yeah, man, start exercising so you can lower your stress levels. And that also is saying that you're too stressed. You clearly have a lack of education in regards to the benefits of exercise, because if you knew, you would know that exercise reduces your stress levels. Ergo, you would exercise. Ergo, you wouldn't be as stressed. And I'm not saying exercise takes away all your stress, but it is a huge stress reliever. Trust me, I know. Going into number eight, you're too tired and sore. Once again, it's nonsense. It's an excuse. If you're that tired and that sore from training, take a day off. Maybe take 2 days off, but get back to it. Continue to work. You have to give your body time to adjust. Usually in the beginning of people's journeys, they'll suffer from something called DOMS, D-O-M-S, delayed onset muscle soreness. Basically what happens is, especially when you do weight training, your body rips up and tears up muscle fibers when you lift weights, especially if you're a newbie. From that point, it takes about 48 to 72 hours for your muscles to reattach themselves, the muscle fibers to reattach and start to heal. But you can alleviate some of that soreness through supplementation, i.e. protein, protein, lean proteins, chicken, pork, different types of beef, whether it's steak or just hamburgers. I don't know. Maybe it could be turkey burgers. And there's other forms of protein that you can ingest as well. In regards to protein powders, you can also utilize branched chain amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein. So, yeah, another reliever of soreness is stretching. You can do a lot of stretching. Preferably after you train is the best time to stretch. Because if you go back to episode 111, we talked about how stretching before exercising is actually a myth. It doesn't work. It's not as effective, even though I still do it. But yeah, you can stretch. And also, too, get rest if you need to get rest. Sleep if you need to sleep, you know. And then when you feel optimal, get back to training. Number nine excuse, you can't commit. That's your own fault. That's your own problem. You have commitment issues. Get committed to the process and fall in love with the process. And last but not least, number 10, you don't have time. Bullshit. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 30 days in a month, or 31 days or 28 days, depending on which month you're talking about. There's 365 days in a year. Don't make excuses. Saying you don't have time is the lamest cop-out you can make as an adult. Get up earlier and work out. Before you go to sleep, work out. You know? Maybe you got to work out a little bit later in the day or at night, and then you can go to sleep. But yeah, to say you don't have time is nonsense. All the time you spend on social media, all the time you spend, on YouTube, all the time you spend talking to people on the phone, all the time you just sit there just talking nonsense with your friends about what? I don't know, whatever the hell y'all talk about. And the NBA finals and the NFL and whoever's dating who in the celebrity world in Hollywood, or watching Netflix, all the Netflix you watch, you could be working out. Like, man, all right, you're watching TV. Guess what? There's commercials. You could do sit-ups and push-ups in between commercials. Can you not? Yes, you can. You just don't want to. You're making excuses. Saying you don't have time, it's ludicrous. And I ain't talking about the rapper. But yeah, man. These are all just lame excuses. They're all lame excuses. Get with the program, man. Like, there's solutions to every single one of these excuses. So, yeah, y'all just don't want it bad enough. And that's just plain and simple. But anyway, I need to get into our next segment. But before I do that, if you enjoyed this segment of the episode, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. Now, getting into the world of finance, I got a lot of information in here. I just ordered pizza and I need to go pick it up. So I'm really going to just try to fly through this. All right. So I put a post on my Instagram story about a few things. And one of those things was whether a recession is imminent or not. And then I also put whether the Federal Reserve will pivot or not. And then I put a few other things. But I'm basically trying to formulate and think about the ideas that I've been wrestling with as of late. Because, of course, if you go back to a few episodes ago, one of the episodes I have titled Recession or Nah. And basically, a lot of financial analysts and even politicians and just different bureaucrats are kind of going back and forth and disagreeing on whether we're in a recession or not. So basically, there's this private company or private group called the National Bureau of Economic Research. And they apparently are the ones who they're the ones who blow the whistle. They're the ones who say, hey, we're in a recession because of these factors, because of these indicators, because of this data. Other people are saying, hey, we had two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. That is a technical recession. But the Federal Reserve, as well as the National Bureau of Economic Research, is saying, hey, we're not in a recession because of things like unemployment being at 3.5%, which apparently to them is not recessionary. So it's very confusing to the retail investor, to the everyday investor, as to what's happening, because right now the market is rallying. You might be looking at your account right now and it's going crazy. You're making all this money, or your account's just moving up and going back to the levels that it was at previously before like the lows of 2022. And maybe you're like, oh, okay, the bottom was maybe in June or whatever. Maybe the bottom was in June or May, and we're good now. We're back to a bull market, this and that. Maybe that's how you feel. I know for me, it's very, very confusing. So I kind of wanted to organize some of my thoughts by talking about this. And there are so many different dynamics and elements that are happening, you know, simultaneously. There's also, you know, different indicators, lagging indicators, coincidental indicators, that are causing just the back and forth confusion as to whether we are in an economic recession or not. So that being said, I got a bunch of notes here and I'm going to try to get through some of them. So, and one of the things I wanted to touch on was something called a bear market rally. So we're going to get to that. But basically, it's right now, it's about trying to make sense of where we are in the economy, where we are in the business cycle, and where we are in the liquidity cycle. So basically, what's happening right now in regards to the liquidity cycle, which is like the money that flows in and out of the economy, we're going through a state of quantitative tightening or monetary tightening. The Federal Reserve is a group. It's basically the Central Bank of America. They are tightening financial conditions, meaning they are taking money out of the financial system, out of the banking system, which means that they are tightening things. When they tighten things, they also increase interest rates. What are interest rates? Interest rates are the cost of money, the cost of capital. So when you're getting a car note, if you got a car note and there's an APR on that, or there's interest on that, that's a part of it. If you're buying a house, you're getting a mortgage, there's an interest rate on that. That is a part of it. If you're getting a personal loan from the bank, there's an interest rate on that. That is a part of it. So when the Federal Reserve tightens monetary policy, when they take money out of the system, when they dry up the liquidity, those interest rates that you are paying as a consumer, those interest rates that businesses are paying increase, which means the cost of capital is higher. So that puts downward pressure on the economy as a whole. Because again, things cost more money. And yeah, I want to read some of these notes because I had some really good ideas here. So basically, we know that interest rates increasing creates downward pressure for a lot of consumers and businesses, especially those that borrow lots of capital to fund operations. Now, looking at the market rallying and people's accounts being in the green, for lack of a better term, or this crazy uptick in markets, investors and algorithms could be pricing in future interest rate hikes, or they could be assuming that that the bottom was in maybe last month or the month before that. So we don't know, but historical data suggests that the market might be pump faking, or we might be in something called a bear market rally. And basically, the market has been rallying like crazy, as I've mentioned, with the S&P 500 index. It closed at 42.80.15 on Friday. It's now 11.17% off of January 4th, 52-week highs. At one point, the S&P 500 was down, well over 20%, which is considered a bear market. Now, the market has rallied and we're only down 11.17%, but still we are down overall from January 4th, 52-week highs. So that is something that retail investors need to pay attention to. We are not out of the woods. Now I'm going to go back to my notes here. Maybe investors are rebalancing their portfolios in order to prepare for tighter financial conditions, or maybe investors are in denial as to whether a recession is coming or a soft landing. as the Fed continues to focus on its fight against inflation. This market rally is confusing because without stock... The market rally is confusing because although stock prices have increased dramatically over the short term, the yield curve is still severely inverted. When you look at the 10-year and the 2-year, it's extremely inverted. If you don't know about yield curve inversions, Google them. Look them up. The Fed still has to bring down 8.5% inflation to a neutral level of 2 to 2.5%. So we are way, 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 way off the mark for price stability. There is no price stabilization right now. Inflation is at 8.5%. Yes, it came down, but it is still extremely high. It's four times the neutral rate. We've already had 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. Inventory for many businesses is moving upward, which is not good. The inventory is increasing for some businesses. Yet and still, the labor market remains tighter than ever. It's at 3.5%, or 5.7 million Americans. And it's just like, man, it's a very weird time. These are very weird dynamics because it's hard to tell if you're new to this stuff, what the hell is happening. You just see their account is in the green. You see your account is ticking up. The value is increasing. So you think we're done. The bear market is over and we're out of the woods and we're making money back again like we was at the end of 2021. And to me, I'm very, 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 very skeptical of that. I don't see that being the case because, again, the Federal Reserve needs to stabilize prices. And they're trying to create maximum employment. And because of inflation, we're not there yet. There's no price stability right now. Yes, prices are coming down, you know, in certain things, certain sectors, certain industries. The housing market is kind of cooling off a little bit. I know oil and gas prices are coming down. Gas per gallon is coming down. But it's just like, man, this could really be temporary. We do not know. At least I don't know. So it's very interesting to me that the market is, you know, basically investors are behaving the way that they're behaving. And some of it could also be because of OPEX, which basically there are retail investors as well as institutional investors that engage in trading, short-term trading, in order to just generate a lot of money. They borrow against their stock portfolio and basically they have to make certain trades. They have to buy and sell at certain times of the year. And when options expire, it can create large movements in the market. It can create massive gyrations to the upside or to the downside. That could also be another element that we're seeing happen right now. Now, I want to go back to my notes. Basically, the Fed wants price stability and they want maximum employment, which means no inflationary price levels and no recessionary levels of unemployment. So trying to manage an entire economy via incoming data is not an easy task. Now, I also want to go back to my notes once again, and I want to talk about what the Federal Reserve can do during a recession. So according to Investopedia.com, the Federal Reserve, they can buy debt securities in the open market, i.e. they can buy treasury securities or they can buy mortgage-backed securities in return for newly created bank credit. So what this does is this lowers interest rates, which influences more borrowing from banks and customers and businesses, since lower interest rates equals cheaper money. This can create more debt as borrowing continues or increases during low interest rate environments. So that's one thing that the Federal Reserve can do if and when we do go into a recession. The second thing they can do is they can lower capital requirements. So commercial banks, you know, I don't know, JP Morgan's, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, whoever else, Everance if you're in Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera. Banks have certain levels of liquid reserves that they need to meet. they have like certain reserve requirements, basically meaning they have to keep a certain amount of money at the bank so that they can meet redemption demands and remain solvent. Because when people take their money out of the banks, banks need to have that money there. But oftentimes, banks will let other people, other customers borrow from your account. If you have a large account, trust me, they're taking some of that money and they're letting another customer borrow it at, you know, whatever interest rate they agreed upon so that the banks can make money off of the money that we put in the banks. So this is why they have reserve requirements. Reserves is just cash, short-term treasuries, short-term securities, etc. So they have to have a certain amount on demand at all times. And because of that, this makes banks more vulnerable if they're running their reserves down. So number three, the Federal Reserve can use discount lending. So the Fed can loan funds directly to banks that are in need of funds through something called the discount window. It's an emergency bailout loan of last resort for banks that are out of options. And these short-term discount windows have a very steep interest rate in which the Federal Reserve is going to make money off of. So going into number four, expectation management. So the Fed can engage in something called forward guidance. And forward guidance is just communication from the Federal Reserve about the state of the economy and the future course of the monetary policy. It's also verbal assurance to the country about intended monetary policy. So with all of that being said, there's so much information to absorb. There's so many things to look at. And again, when you look at, you know, the state of the stock market right now and where businesses are, again, it's very confusing to you if you're new to this. It's confusing to me, which is why I'm studying this stuff, you know, just persistently, because I want to know what's happening. Why are the markets rallying at this time? If we are headed towards more economic turmoil, more monetary tightening, if we're headed towards a downward spiral and the possibility of going into a recession, why would the stock market be rallying right now? And of course, there are so many reasons as to why it could be rallying. And we just went over all of those possibilities. But yeah, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel. You got to pay attention because you never know what the hell is causing markets to rally. You never know what's causing markets to just skid and just spiral downward. So it is important to know where we are in the business cycle, where we are in the liquidity cycle, and just where we are in the economic cycle as a nation. So you can kind of see where you're going to get some of these behavioral psychological tendencies and habits in regards to retail investors and institutional investors, because we're all going to be doing certain things that are just embedded in our psyche. And history obviously will give you some indications as to what the Federal Reserve tends to do and tries to do, and how that affects retail investors and institutional investors, and how it affects businesses as a whole. So yeah, man, you really gotta keep your head on the swivel, and be on the lookout for a lot of different elements and a lot of different market dynamics, because there's no telling what the hell is gonna happen. We have no idea, but again, we like to look at the history of markets to tell us what the future is. Nobody knows what the future is. We can only, you know, hypothesize, or we can only come up with probabilities, you know, or probable outcomes as to what may happen based on what has happened and based on what is happening. But we don't know what is going to happen. So we always have to be prepared no matter what. And that just takes a lot of education, man, and just a lot of rationality. So yeah, man, that's all I wanted to say about that. Hopefully you got something very useful out of this episode. I know I did. So yeah, if you did get something useful out of this, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. We got more episodes on the way, man. So basically, I will have a set schedule for this. We will be posting every single Sunday. All right. So with that being said, I will see you guys next Sunday. And again, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure you download, rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast, man. I'm gonna see y'all next Sunday. You already know who it is. I'm not gonna say it again. I'm out.